That's a nice gavel. I'm going to call to order the regular meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. Roll call, please.
Director Hill?
Here.
Vice Chair Austin?
Here.
And Chairman Scholes?
Present. Thank you, Paul. Please stand with us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hands over your heart. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, let's move on to agenda review. Do any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda as presented by staff? Okay,
nope.
Seeing none, we will proceed with the agenda as organized. All right, let's move on to public comment. Is there any member of the community that would like to address the board on any item that is not on the agenda? Okay. No one's coming forward.
Julie Tacker, and I've actually sort of said this before when I've come to the podium for items that are not on the agenda and given you sort of the litany of things that should have been here. So rather than repeat them, if you're not familiar with what they are, the audit, the personnel policies, etc., at all. What also is not here is the separation with Mr. Huebner and how we got here. I think the public deserves a full explanation, and they actually should have been able to have commented on it before it took place. So that's a question that I have tonight is, when will we have that opportunity? Right. And the one question I've been asking about for about 9 months is louder in my head tonight than ever before, and that is, why was Liebert Cassidy engaged before there seemed to be any trouble, and a retroactive contract? And then if we look at what your district has spent with that firm, what was it all for? What was it all about? And what, how do you recover from it? I believe this district will recover from it. I just think it's very costly and very hurtful. And after what you've been through with the Wallace years, it's the last thing you needed. It's the absolute last thing you needed. And so I look forward to a strategic plan on how to get out of this. Thank you for your time.
Anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So I wanted to say a few things about Mr. Huebner, too. For the sanitation district to be successful and to be accountable to the ratepayers, there needs to be a sort of supportive environment between the general manager, the board, the staff, and the general public. And during Mr. Huebner's tenure of about, 16, 15 months, that did not exist. On his seventh week, after looking at old meetings on public TV, on his seventh week, the criticism of him began. He was barely into his job. And I think that was on week seven that someone got up and praised Mr. Clemens, and then turned to Mr. Huebner and said, suck it up, buttercup. And I have no clue what that was in reference to. But it's not a positive comment. He was critiqued and attacked on several fronts. Director Hill, at almost every meeting, had a list of complaints. Other agencies criticized him. A Grover Beach council person sometimes slandered him up at the microphone. I think normally other agencies stay within their agency. And last but not least, a group of organized citizens that regularly belittled him at meetings. And they critiqued him while they praised Mr. Clemens at every opportunity. I think that there was a group motive to oust Mr. Huebner and replace him with Mr. Clemens, kind of like a fantasy football team. Mr. Clemens was their star quarterback. So Mr. Huebner was undermined by a concerted, organized effort, including a board director, a council person, and a public group for 14 months straight. And it's not a secret that many members of the aforementioned groups would meet at local restaurants and plot and plan the ouster of Mr. Huebner. I think that is wrong, and more importantly, it's unethical. And anyone can watch the prior meetings and verify for yourself what went on. And before the proud and powerful take a victory lap, said group should factor in two issues. In my opinion, Mr. Clemens will not become general manager. That's not how good governance works. And when we look at new applicants for general manager, they will do their due diligence. They will watch prior meetings. They will read what is online, and there's a lot online that is negative and destructive to Mr. Huebner. I mean, his reputation was essentially destroyed. So will the most qualified applicant be interested? And will the district have to pay more for having essentially a hostile work environment? And that environment here, many times it's hard for the average person to come up here and talk if they are not in alignment with most of the group that's here at every meeting. It's very difficult.
Ms. Gibson, I need you to wrap up.
Okay. And so today, at this point, the ratepayer is a big loser. Severance pay, headhunter fees, new contract, et cetera. Lastly, in the last 16 months, Mr. Huebner did accomplish receiving the Coastal Commission permit, 30-year permit, and a unanimous vote.
Okay.
And what would have happened if he had the necessary support? Thank you.
Anyone else?
Good evening, Mary Lucia Sciano. I think you do your best as a board to keep personnel issues out of the forefront. And so what was agreed upon with contracts with Mr. Huebner, I'm assured that at least two board members will keep it confidential, although Mr. Hill is kind of a loose cannon, so you don't know what he's going to say. I can't see what's going to happen differently. I have a memo from Mr. Hill to Mr. Rick Sweet, and it was dated back when Mr. Hill thought he would come in and browbeat OCSD. And the memo basically says, Mr. Sweet, you know, thank you for your service. Leave your keys on the desk, and don't forget to recommend Mr. Clemens as interim administrator. And I have that memo in my records if you want me to pull it out for you. So I want to ask, you know, what's going to be different? You know, you still have Director Hill still making notches in his belt for everyone he gets fired or, you know, drives them out of the department he wants them out of. And so it comes once again home to roost on the backs of us ratepayers, you know, because we're having to defend, you know, staff against board members. So the board needs to maybe take some leadership classes or something like that, because what you allow people to go through while they're working for you is so inappropriate. It's just horrifying. What you've allowed to happen to other board members who have sat on up this, where staff has mocked them and mimicked them and personally, you know, just made fun of them. Mr. Clemens sat up there for months and months and months and made fun of me, and you sat there and watched him, you know, and it's on TV and people see it all the time. So I want to know as a board what you're going to do to take a leadership role, because if you're not going to be leaders in this, it's not, nothing's going to change. It's still the same players. Mr. Sweet is going to bring back his knowledge. Mr. Karp is going to bring back his knowledge. Mr. Hill is going to start working on, you know, trying to unravel the relationships, and the board's going to sit there. And so this board really needs to be leaders and stand up. You know, it's a sewer plant. It's not a city. It's not a state. It's a sewer plant. So if you just provide a little bit more guidance and maybe protect your employees just a little bit more from people like Julie Tackert, who doesn't even live in the area, maybe we'd have better success. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Colleen Kubel. I just wanted to follow up what Mary just stated. I think we've had enough of all of this. Everything that was just set up here needs to stop. And I know the board is looking for that. And I think the public needs to do it also. There should be no back looking at this point. There should be only forward looking. No matter what happened in the past, everything needs to start fresh now. We have fresh blood. We have Mr. Karp. We have everyone set up now to do this correctly. And all of the carping out here needs to stop. And I don't care who's doing it. It just needs to stop and allow the board to do what they want. No board member should be criticized. No other public in this room should be criticized. They have their opinions, but no one should be called a loose cannon or anybody else, anything like that, at this microphone. And I just needed to bring that out right now because it needs to stop. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Patty Welsh. I want to thank Colleen for what she said, because I absolutely agree. And we do need leadership. We need it all around here. So let's move forward in a positive light. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Deborah Peterson, I am a ratepayer in Grover Beach, and I do sit on the Grover Beach City Council, and I feel so strongly about this that I come forward and speak about it. I'd like to talk about Agenda Item 4, public comment. This week is the 302nd anniversary of the Riot Act passed by British Parliament on August 1st, 1715. Under the Riot Act, if a dozen or more people gathered and showed signs of being unruly, a law officer could require them to disperse by citing the Riot Act aloud to the letter as follows: "Our sovereign lord the king charged and commandeth all persons being assembled immediately to disperse themselves and peaceably to depart to their habitations or to their lawful business upon the pains contained in the act made in the first year of King George for preventing tumult and riotous assemblies. God save the king." Well, today reading the Riot Act has come to mean to strongly warn someone, to stop behaving badly, to chastise loudly, to rebuke firmly, and the tables have turned. It's no longer the board, it's no longer the chair who's the king. Today, the people are king. Today, we have the Brown Act, the purpose of which is to protect the people from those they elect. I'm going to read some things to you from there. Government Code Section 54950, 54963. 54950, in enacting this chapter, the legislature finds and declares that the public commissions, boards, and councils, and the other public agencies in the state exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business. It is the intent of the law that their actions be taken openly and that their deliberations be conducted openly. The people of the state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies which serve them. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not good for them to know. The people insist on remaining informed so that they may retain control over the instruments they have created. 54952.7, a legislative body of a local agency may require that a copy of this chapter be given to each member of the legislative body. 54953.7, notwithstanding any other provision of law, legislative bodies of local agencies may impose requirements upon themselves which allow greater access to their meetings than prescribed by the minimal standards set forth in this chapter. The Brown Act is the minimal standard. We're allowed to do better. We may not do worse. 54954.2A2. Furthermore, a member of a legislative body or the body itself, subject to rules or procedures of the legislative body, may provide a reference to staff or other resources for factual information, request staff to report back to the body at a subsequent meeting concerning any matter, or take action to direct staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Your board went so far as to change your bylaws to exclude one board member from placing items on the agenda, which violates the minimum Brown Act standard.
Anyone else?
Patricia Price. Welcome, Mr. Karp. Glad to see you. I have a few things to say about the Brown Act, and this is right out of the book. 54953A. All meetings of the legislative body of a local agency shall be open and public, and all persons shall be permitted to attend any meeting of the legislative body of a local agency. No more secret meetings. 54954.3. The legislative body of a local agency shall not prohibit public criticism of the policies, procedures, programs, or services of the agency, or of the acts or omissions of the legislative body. That echoes the First Amendment of both California and U.S. constitutions. 54954.3. The legislature hereby finds and declares that complete, faithful, and uninterrupted compliances with the Ralph M. Brown Act is a matter of overriding public No act or related budget enactment shall in any manner be interpreted to suspend, eliminate, or otherwise modify the legal obligation and duty of local agencies to fully comply with and faithfully or uninterrupted matter. 54959. Each member of a legislative body who attends a meeting of that legislative body where action is taken in violation of any provision of this chapter and where the member intends to deprive the public of information to which the member knows or has reason to know the public is entitled under this chapter is guilty of a misdemeanor. 54960. The district attorney or any interested person may commence an action to determine applicability of this chapter to past actions of the legislative body. The court, in its discretion, may order the legislative body to audio record its closed sessions. This board, your district administrator, your councils, and the city council of Arroyo Grande have conspired to discourage the expression of one of your members, flying in the face of our most treasured values as Americans, that the majority rules and the minority is protected. 54957.2, an elected legislative body of a local agency may require that each legislative body, all or of a majority of those members, are appointed by or under the authority of the elected legislative body. Keep a minute book. So I would say thank you.
Anyone else?
Ron Holt, Arroyo Grande. I'm going to continue on the same thing about the Brown Act because you, the board, within the past month ignored formal requests to cease and desist violations of the Brown Act, and we demand that you provide us with a written unconditional commitment to cease, desist from, and not repeat these actions in the form of an agenda item, not a consent item, that you will properly notice closed session meetings, report out votes of each board member of action taken in closed session, consider only those items properly noticed on the agenda in closed session, make decisions on agency executives only in the open session in regular meetings, not in special meetings, keep a written minute of closed session meetings, record closed session meetings, set the record straight with KSBY. You've lied and allowed misinformation to be reported without regard to the damage it does to employees or your fellow council member who have not yet been informed as to why they are on administrative leave and have not been convicted of any violation. You have sought to silence those with whom you do not agree by reporting malicious and untrue allegations. You have sought to correct the malevolent and gravely damaging reports. Publicly apologized to Jim Hill and the people of Arroyo Grande. Publicly apologized to John Clemens. Publicly apologized to Amy Simpson. Provide copies of certification that each of you and the district administrator and all supervisorial staff have completed ethics and harassment training per the law, or complete that training within the next 30 days. And finally, give a copy of the Brown Act to each board member, executives, and superintendent, and any other members of staff who participate in board meetings. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Ron Arnoldson. I guess what's kind of more confusing to most people is the fact that we've had some closed sessions. You guys have came out of closed session. Obviously, one person didn't go into those closed sessions that isn't here today, and we have an idea that that's what the closed session is about. You come out of closed session, there's nothing to talk about. No decisions are made. 3 or 4 days later, there's a decision that the administrator steps down, and there is an agreement within this board. How did that happen if there wasn't something to disclose after a closed session? It just doesn't make sense to us. So seems like there's some back room dealing there that we'd like to know about as public members. Also, I'd like to speak to one of the things that somebody said about the past administrator being here for a short period of time, and he was talked poorly about in the meetings. Well, I guess it just didn't take some of us very long to catch on to how stupid the man was and how bad a job he did. That's me talking. That's my opinion. Your problem.
Go ahead and finish.
Yeah. And talk about loose cannons. That one over there is as loose as they get.
Okay. Let me close and bring it back to the board. It's a good thing we've got, well, first of all, welcome Mr. Karp. And legal counsel. A good thing we have legal counsel. So I don't know if there had been the discussion regarding Brown Act and bringing an item before this body in open session. So I wanted to kind of get your opinion on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, Commission members. We have followed the Brown Act to the best of our abilities and knowledge. I am not aware of any violations of the Brown Act in any closed sessions that have occurred before this body.
Okay. All right, we're gonna move on.
Could I briefly respond to one of the comments?
Sure.
The allegation was made that there was some memo in Ms. Lucy's possession. I would urge her to bring it on. And furthermore, the idea that Mr. Clemens made fun of Ms. Lucy in meetings, I don't think he could hold a candle to her.
Okay. And we're good. You're good, Jim?
We're good.
Lynn, do you have anything? So I just find it wildly ironic. I think people who've been watching these meetings knows I've tried to be very fair in allowing people to make their comments and giving you sufficient time to do that. And yet tonight we're getting a lesson on Brown Act and one side and other side is saying provide leadership. So, you know, I guess the good news is that people are getting to say what's on their mind, and other people who don't like what they're saying can criticize leadership. So It is what it is. It's what we do, and we're going to keep providing the public opportunities to comment. I'm not going to sit here and try and edit anyone, but I do, as I've always said, try and ask people to do these things in a respectful way, not to slander folks. We keep talking about decorum, and I find it, I guess we're going to just have to keep working toward that. And so we're going to move on. Let's move on to our consent agenda tonight. There are three items on consent. There are approval of warrants, approval of minutes of the meeting of July 19th, and financial review for June. Do any members of the board want to pull any items from consent?
I'd like to consider each item separately, please.
Okay. Let's do the approval of warrants.
Okay, once again with the warrants, I see that there's $28,000 in legal fees this month and another $3,400 for HR. And once again, I cannot support that, and I'll be voting against the warrants yet again.
Okay. Do you have anything, Linda? Are you good? You have any questions? No. All right. Let me see if there's anyone from the public that has comment on the warrants.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I too would like to speak to the legal bills. Seems to me that at your last regular meeting, doesn't matter when, was after the budget and after the direction was given that the outside counsel was not to exceed $20,000 without coming back to the board for a budget adjustment and explanation and perhaps explaining what the actual services were for. At that time, you were close to $20,000. I don't know if those monies were expensed to last year's budget or if they are for this year's budget. If you are accounting in cash or in accrual, those would be different. And we got different mixed messages from your administrator about how the district's funds are accounted for. I, too, am concerned about six invoices in one warrant register for Liebert Cassidy Whitmore. I think that's outrageous. I think we need an explanation of what those were for. We know there's been ongoing investigations. Is this one big investigation, or are there separate little investigations? Mr. Trujillo has a very expensive warrant this time, $12,000. That's a lot of money for 1 month's work. There's a regional water quality control board check. We do know that that's associated with the ACL, but what we don't have is any explanation in the district administrator's report. I did communicate with the water board because I wanted some explanation for that. And I also watched the Zone 3 meeting where they discussed the groundwater modeling, and the consultant from Water Systems Consulting was explaining to that board about the groundwater model and how important it was since, and this is the key and the emphasis that he made, was that since seawater intrusion was detected in 2009 in Oceano, that groundwater modeling needs to take place. There was a Century well that was bad in Oceano in 2009. It was repaired or replaced, and seawater intrusion has not been detected again. So if that is the driving force behind this very expensive test, I think you're all misguided. The redundancy costs associated with Mr. Nunley continue. At what point Are you going to bring Mr. Nunley in here for a specific contract that is specific to that project?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Mary Lucio Shiano, we're going to continue to have high legal bills when we have employees that we have to negotiate a contract with because we haven't fulfilled that portion of that contract. So when you have to negotiate, when you terminate people, you usually don't have to do all that. But when you have harassed people to the point where they leave, yes, it's going to be very, very costly, as you well know.
Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it, bring it back to the board.
I'm so sorry to bother you, Ms. Lucy. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the legal fees on the warrants because, yet again, they're big. And this has been something that we've been saying to you in this body for, well, since 2013, and I've been saying it since 2012. So what I wanted to just bring to the public's attention, first of all, was how we stack up, and this was announced previously, but it wasn't so clear as this. I want people to see how we stack up. If you look at the other districts and you look at our district, it's just absolutely scary. We are 3, 4, 5, 6, even 7 times sometimes the cost of other districts. And it's gone on for year after year after year. And let me show you here. This is our the legal fees back to 7104. And you can look all the way back and you can see the revenue. These are our revenues, 4.6, 4.9, 4.6, and it goes down. The legal percentage, the percentage of the legal fees, 4.2%, 4.9%, 4.7%, 9.2%. One's as high as 13. And the very best we ever had was way back in 2004, 2005. And it was only 1.8%, which is double what anybody else's was at that same turnover. So this isn't something that we're just hollering about now. This is something that's been ongoing for a very long time, and it is incumbent on the board to manage these things. And so I would like to ask that you take this seriously. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? No, okay, see anyone come for it, let me close it and bring it back to the board. Linda, you have any comment? Jim, I think you had made comments earlier. Anything else?
No.
Okay. So I think we're at a point, if there's no additional discussion, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. We approve the warrants.
Okay, I'm going to second that motion. If there's no additional discussion on the motion, let's do a roll call.
Director Hill.
Respectfully, because I have no other way of expressing my displeasure with the high legal bills, no.
Vice Chair Austin.
Yes.
Chairman Scholes.
Yes, and we do take this seriously. We are trying to figure a way out of this. Some of this is beyond our control, and we're going to keep working on that. So let's move on. I know we've got item 5B, which is approval of the minutes from the meeting of July 19th. I know I was not in attendance at that meeting. Jim, did you have anything?
I was not present either. I am aware of the meeting business, and I think I would be able to vote to approve the minutes, but I was not here either, and would like District Legal Counsel's opinion on whether we should vote on that or what conditions we might vote on it.
Okay. Legal counsel.
The fact that a member was not present does not bar them from voting on minutes if they have viewed the video or listened to a tape recording of the meeting and they're familiar with the contents of the meeting.
Okay. Linda, do you have anything? Is there any member of the community that would like to comment on the minutes for the meeting of July 19th? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it, bring it back to the board. Someone want to make a motion on this item?
I'll make a move that we approve the minutes of July 19th, 2017.
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Let's do a roll call.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice Chair Austin.
Yes.
Chairman Schultz.
I'm going to abstain. I was not in attendance and I have not watched the meeting. Let's move on to item 5C. This is financial review for June.
In item 5C, as of June 30th of 17, that's the last day of the fiscal year. I note that our revenues throughout the fiscal year are itemized at $4.99 million, virtually $5 million. The expenses are $4.8 million, or direct district expenses total $4,080,000. So roughly $9.9 million, or almost $1 million, revenues exceeded expenses. Yet I compare the cash balance of June 30th of 16 at $5.5 million. So I look at the what I would expect to see an increase in the ballpark of district funds, somewhere between $6.4 and $6.5 million, but we're only reporting $5.8 million. So I'm concerned about a discrepancy of somewhere between $600,000 and $700,000.
Okay, any other comments? Linda?
Can we get, can Mr. Carp, does he?
Yeah, I don't know. Mr. Carp, are you
well, I,
up on this?
All I can say, Mr. Chair and Director, is that you know, I follow the same line that Director Hill has, and that all adds and subtracts.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Then the difference is the $464,000. It appears that there are other additives and subtractions that are part of that, which have gone down as part of since that balance, fund balance, was made. I didn't come prepared to answer that specific question tonight.
Yeah, I certainly don't expect to.
Yeah.
If you would like, we can report back. Or what would be your pleasure?
Okay. So why don't we do this? Let me see if there's someone from the community that would like to comment on this, and then I think we'll get back to what our options are.
Okay.
Okay.
Julie Tacker again, and I think that's a great idea, have Mr. Karp report back. I think it also would have been helpful if you'd had a audit for last year. What you're looking at from 16 has not been audited yet. I know that the government code allows you 1 year to have that audit done. You've exceeded that year. The county auditor controller will likely be in touch with you soon, if he hasn't been already, to let you know that they have the power to do it at your expense.
Anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it, bring it back to the board. So perhaps we should give Mr. Carb direction to look into this, to report back to us, and then maybe just a update on the audit as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. So I think we have consensus on that, Mr. Carb.
Very good.
Okay. We're going to move on to our action items tonight. This is item 6A. This is approve hiring of Paul Carpenter to provide specialized technical services to the districts for up to 6 months. Authorize the board chair to execute contracts for their services. Mr. Trujillo, you're going to make a presentation on this item.
Yes, I am. Chair Schultz. District Council is recommending that you adopt resolution number 374, approving the hiring of Mr. Karp and Mr. Rick Sweet. They will be tasked with providing technical expertise and advice on pending district projects, including plant maintenance, the redundancy project, and district administration. They have requested the following items in their contract: $150 per hour for a period not to exceed 6 months, and an indemnification provision in their contract. District Council is recommending that you approve Resolution 374, authorizing Council to prepare a contract with the above terms and authorizing the Chair to execute the contract. In addition, the board should also authorize Mr. Karp and Sweet to initiate the recruitment process to search for a new district administrator. That concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Let me see if there's any questions for staff. Jim, any questions?
My question is can we make a revision to the proposed resolution that we have a short-term need for specialized technical and administrative services? There's about three paragraphs where that would obtain.
Can you repeat the language that you'd like to insert?
For example, in the first whereas, the district has an immediate short-term need for specialized technical, I would add, and administrative services and advice in order to complete maintenance. The same language would be inserted in the second whereas, specialized technical and administrative services. And then in the resolution itself, item one, Paul Karp and Rick Sweet are hired to provide specialized technical and administrative advice.
Yeah. Okay. Linda, you have any questions?
No.
Okay. So if there's anyone from the community that would like to address the item before the board.
Julie Tacker, and I need to take a point of order at this time, and if you'll allow Mr. Scholes.
You've got 3 minutes.
Okay. You said something about decorum earlier. Ms. Lucy has the sound of a cow mooing on her phone, and when I walk by, she plays it.
Okay.
Now, I am overweight. I think she is too. And so I think you as the chair need to act as a chair.
Okay.
And either ask her to turn it off.
I have not heard the sound. So
everyone else has.
Okay. Well, you're back there. I'm here, up here.
No, it's every time I
walk by. Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Okay.
Okay. So, Mary, if you can silence. All right. Silence phones. Come on, everyone. Anyway, thank you for bringing. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay. I'm confused as to why there's not contracts for us to view in the packet. I think that transparency would provide us a scope of service and perhaps even a not to exceed price. I know that the contract will be available after the fact, but I don't really know what these gentlemen are going to do. Now, I have a long list of things I'd like to see them do because there's a huge pile of cleanup to do. But at what cost? And it, at the same time that this 6 months transpires, your board needs to find a new administrator. And so, you know, is that in the scope? Are these gentlemen going to do the search? We've seen recruiting firms that bungle the recruitments, and so I just would like to see the contract. I just don't quite understand why we're not seeing the contract before it's signed and in public.
Okay. Anyone else?
Good evening, board, and welcome, Mr. Karp. My only question was that the staff report says that the account number would be 19-7077, which is engineering. The resolution says that the funds are available in account 19-7076, which I believe is human resources. And I was just asking for clarification as to why we're not paying it out of administrative account, and which account are you paying it out of? Thank
you. Can I get your name on the record?
Amy Simpson, ratepayer, Oceano.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Debbie Peterson, ratepayer, Grover Beach. And I am delighted that you've called Mr. Karp back. I know he salvaged us way back, I think, in the early 80s, and then came back again in the 20 years later, and here he is again. And the last time he was here, he really evaluated what needed to be done and came up with some great solutions. And unfortunately, the board didn't follow those. And so I again would like to ask you to carefully investigate the things that he said. I suspect he may have some evaluation to do and reevaluation this time. And also to look really carefully at the Knudsen report, because we've spent money on these experts to help us do a better job. And we need to listen to them if we've paid this much for them. I was looking through my notes for this meeting, and I found the minutes of August 13, 2015, almost 2 years ago. And the public comment I had made on closed session was, Debbie Peterson did a review of the reorganization of the district that took place in 2013. She hopes that the board will be able to take us to accomplishing redundancy with the next district administrator. She believes that a full-time administrator would take us back to where we were before the reorganization. She asks that the board rethink hiring a full-time administrator and look at using the resources that are already available to the district and possibly bring in someone underneath the licensed superintendent to support him, to help him with his job. And I wholeheartedly will support Mr. Karp in his recommendations, and thank you for calling him back. And welcome, Mr. Karp.
Is there anyone else?
Mary Lucia Oceano. First of all, I was on my phone looking for trying to get into my email, not making noises towards Ms. Tacker. We have a contract that Mr. Clements had signed when he was playing interim administrator, and I think it's NBS or MBC. They're supposed to provide administrative support, you know, like writing memos and staff reports and stuff to that nature. And so if you could check on that to see, I know that you use them quite frequently still, if they're still needed with the expertise that's coming on board. Now, this might be a little bit of a hard question for you, right? But what is going to be different in this next 6 months? How are we going to keep these two people, Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet, from caving to pressure, being bombarded with public records requests that are 20, 30 years old, you know, constantly going back and bogging them down with things that are irrelevant to what's happening with that plant now? So this is the time where I'm asking you to provide a little bit of leadership, because we've already been down this road too many times, and it didn't work out last time. And I have that memo with Director Hill asking Mr. Sweet to leave. So, you know, not that I care what has changed, what's different this time, right? But I don't want to see us continually make the same mistake, because we do have access to good, knowledgeable people, and to let, you know, petty people, you know, drive them out is just costing us more and more.
Okay. Anyone else? Come on, Mary. All right. We're going to close this to the public, bring it back to the board. And legal counsel, there was a question of why there is not a contract in the staff report. Can you address that, please?
The reason there is no contract is because we did not have time to negotiate a contract before the agenda needed to be published. This moved fairly quickly, and we had just a few hours to pull this together.
Okay. Any board members have any questions or staff or comments?
Comment?
Nope. Okay, Jim.
First of all, I'm delighted that Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet are willing to come back and help us again. I think their expertise is beyond question. The issue that I have with this is I would rather see the item, the contract, brought back at the next meeting for approval in a public meeting in the interest of transparency, rather than just authorizing an unknown that I do strongly support the engagement of Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet under the terms generally outlined here.
Okay. Linda?
Anything? Wouldn't that fall on option one, adopt the resolution, and then authorizing, directing the board chair to do the contracts? Wouldn't that be what we're doing?
So I think that's what's in the staff report. I think what Director Hill was suggesting was, I think, a variation of that.
Yes,
right?
I would move that we adopt Resolution 2017-374, a resolution of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors approving the hiring of Paul Karp and Rick Sweet to provide specialized technical and administrative services to the district. The change there to say technical and administrative services to the district for up to 6 months, and authorizing and directing the board chair to bring the contract back at the next regular meeting for approval, and the language in the resolution to be changed to coincide with that. Specifically, the first whereas would say short-term need for specialized technical and administrative services. The second line would say to provide specialized technical and administrative services. The resolution item one would say hire to provide specialized technical and administrative services. And item two would say the board chair or his designee is authorized and directed to return the contract for approval at the next regular meeting of the board.
Okay.
Is that a motion?
That is my motion.
Okay, so that is what, directing the board chair to execute the contracts. So we're just saying execute the contracts or bring them here for the next meeting, which is kind of what I thought we'd be doing. So I'll second that.
Okay, so I just want to, there's a motion and a second, just to a quick clarification on. So basically, we're talking about bringing the contract here before it's executed and then taking public comment on that contract. I mean, that's okay. That's where the board majority wants to go. I'll support that. I just know that that is not a process that we typically follow in hiring a city manager or other. All right.
Well,
so please, everyone just needs to. To keep the comments down, or I'm going to have to recess this meeting. We're making our way through an agenda. This is really unfortunate that we've gotten a situation where we have had one administrator who we've separated from. We have a new person, an old person that's back, but he looks great. He looks tan. So hopefully we would show him some respect. If you can't show the board respect, how about that? So there's a motion, there's a second. Roll call.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice Chair Austin?
Yes.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes. All right, let's move on. We have item 6B, which is the adopted fiscal year 2017-18 budget. Mr. Karp, did you have a staff report on this
item? Yeah, I understand that this is the budget that we adopted last time. There were some requests for some changes which have been identified, with the exception of one, which is noted on the last part of the memo, where either, you know, file this budget as drafted or give direction to make additional changes. And the item has to do with... It says on the page 2, item 6B of the memo, it says one revision could not be made at this time. The transfer of funds from Fund 19 to Fund 20 from the wastewater rate increase enacted in March 2016 to specifically support the redundancy project. Staff research indicates that the examining the ordinance and so on, and he quotes the ordinance there, and there are not specific amounts, there are not specific percentages identified within the rate ordinance, and it appears that we have no direction on that specific change, should that one be requested. The rest of the changes have been highlighted with a yellow highlighter on the adopted budget, and we stand to take direction at this point.
And so, just for clarification, the budget has been adopted. We are not revisiting the budget. This is coming back and reporting regarding direction that was received from the board, and so this is how staff has responded to those directions,
that
correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Linda, you have anything? Jim?
Yes, I would direct attention to the rate study that was made for the redundancy project. Page 11 of that rate study identifies funds that are being collected due to the rate increase that was passed by this board for the redundancy project specifically and some other ancillary things. But for the redundancy project specifically identified in the 15-16 budget year, $600,000. In the 16-17 budget year, $1 million. For this fiscal year, $9.2 million. Very substantial amounts of money that we are intending to bring forward for the redundancy project. And I'm very concerned that with those types of funds being collected for a specific project that will take some time to implement, that it would be very easy to divert those funds to numbers of other items that may come to our attention. An example might be extremely high legal bills as just one example, but funds could be diverted to any number of things, and I think they sometimes tend to do that absent a specific fund to receive those monies and assure that we use them as intended for the redundancy project. So I think the amount of money that should be set aside has already been identified in the rate study that accompanied our last rate increase, and hopefully we will adopt the fiscal controls necessary to make sure that those funds are expended as intended and as we represented to the ratepayers at the time of that rate study.
Okay. Let me open this up to the public. Anyone from the community has a comment on this item before the board?
Julie Tacker again, and with regard to the rate study, you went through a 218 process in order to pass those rate increases. And I don't think I'm wrong, but all supporting documentation that goes with that increase, with that ordinance, not just the ordinance. I think that's the problem here. Mr. Huebner only went so far as to research the ordinance. You have to go to the supporting documentation, and everything that was adopted was all one package, and that's what the ratepayers are expecting from you with regard to spending those funds as was outlined in those supporting documentation. The rate study itself is quite lengthy. It's complex, but that's what, if you had a sort of a taxpayer's watchdog lawsuit, they're going to go to that rate study and say, this is the letter of the law that you adopted. Ordinances are law. So I don't think this staff report or this your staff at the time that they went through this didn't go far enough. What do you do about it tonight? No, you're not revisiting adoption of the budget, but you do have to do something about this. I think you press on and ask Mr. Karp to go back to the rate study and then make this happen, this recommendation to use transferring funds from 19 to 20 in the manner in which your board adopted. So just, you know, there's no rush, but it is something that you do have to be thorough about. And I just encourage you to keep the conversation going until you get to the bottom of it and iron it out, because you will put yourselves at risk for that type of lawsuit if those funds are used in a manner in which you did not specify in that rate increase.
Is anyone else?
There was some discussion a couple of meetings ago about what the ordinances are, what the law is regarding budgets, and government code section 29064 HTML, so you can get it online, states that on or before June 30th of each year, the board by formal action shall approve the recommended budget, including the revisions it deems necessary for the purpose of having authority to spend until the budget is adopted. The board may make revisions to the recommended budget until the budget is adopted. A revision to the recommended budget after the start of the public hearing shall be made only if the revision is proposed in writing and filed with the clerk of the board prior to the close of the public hearing or approved by a 4/5. I guess in your case, that's going to be a unanimous vote of the board after the close of the hearing. On or before May 30th, the board shall make the recommended budget available to the public. On or before May 30th, the board shall publish a notice stating that the recommended budget is available to members of the public and that the board will conduct a public hearing on the recommended budget, including the time and place of the hearing. On or before June 20th, but not fewer than 10 days after the recommended budget is made available to the public, the board shall conduct the public hearing on the recommended budget. After the conclusion of the hearing on the recommended budget, and not later than June 30th, the board shall adopt the budget by resolution. Some of these we fulfilled, many of them we did not.
Anyone else? See anyone come forward? Let me close it and bring it back to the board. So I think, Jim, you had made some a recommendation, and I would agree. I don't think any of us are interested in diverting funds. I mean, we went through a whole process, and we've said we're going to use funds in a certain way. So don't see an issue with that, but I do think there's some merit with having a clarification or a denotation.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Mr. Chair, if I may be so bold as to interrupt the board in their deliberation on this particular item, I think that the specific item that Director Hill brought up as an example was regarding legal fees and the such. And in making the reductions in the legal line items, it would seem to me that before you increase those, the board is going to have to act. The board itself is going to have to make a decision whether or not to put funds in to supplement those or cut off all expenditures for legal fees. And that seems like you've been quite diligent in protecting not only the funds for improvement of the district infrastructure, but all of the funds. And you know, I don't know how many times you have to review it, but it seems like you put that safeguard in there. But I'll stand to take your direction at this point.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carp. Okay, what's the pleasure of the board on this?
I would certainly agree, Mr. Chair, that I don't think the board has, for the most part, that the board has relatively been diligent on district funds. But I would like to see a fund within Fund 20 set aside for the redundancy project specifically. And that'll allow that's probably by far, in a way, the largest project the district has undertaken to proceed with in many, many years, possibly since the original construction of the plant. And costs tend to escalate beyond what people foresee, and I think identifying the monies that we've set aside for it, having Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet use their expertise to judge what reasonable amounts are to set aside for that fund is probably prudent management practices.
Okay. So I think we are in agreement. I mean, I think there's a consensus up here, and we just give that direction to Mr. Karp and Sweet. So I think we're good moving forward. Okay?
And I'm not suggesting changing the budget that's already been approved in any way.
Yeah, I understand. I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's move on to item 6C. This is the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. Mr. Karp.
Yes, you have before you the report of the District Administrator and the Plant Superintendent. The detail lists a number of projects and their progress over the last month. I've reviewed it. It appears that there is progress on just about every item, and it's all forward progress. If you have questions on it or would like to do more than file, let me know.
Okay, very good. Any questions, Linda?
No, I don't.
Jim?
I don't have really a question, maybe a comment. I know this report was not prepared by Mr. Karp, and he may not be prepared to answer that, which I fully understand. But under financing on page 2, I note that the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff requested a number of submittals related to our application for a state revolving fund loan, including the they say recirculating the mitigated negative declaration addendum, updating a cultural resources report, a biological species list for the project area, and air quality modeling for the construction period relating to our redundancy project, which again is probably the most important and largest project that we're undertaking, I believe, since the plant was originally built. And I'm concerned with that because potentially the items that were submitted may have been inadequate, and this will be costly in terms of compliance to get the application to be received and evaluated by the Water Board.
Okay.
That's that is in process, each one of those items. So that's something that Mr. Sweet and I will be working on with the state board people.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Let me see if there's anyone from the community that would like to address this item.
Julie Tacker again, and I actually received the correspondence with the State Water Resource Control Board with regard to the SRF loan today, and read through it, and they used the term that your application is incomplete, and it's due to these items being stale. The 2009 mitigated negative declaration is wholly inadequate. As I think we discussed about a year ago, it was, I thought, inadequate for the Coastal Commission, but they let you through with a little Band-Aid. You spent $10,000 on having Alex Handlers from Bartle Wells and Associate put that application together. What has me concerned is John Rickenbach has been engaged to follow up on these CEQA matters, and, you know, he had a very narrow scope. He had the Coastal Commission was his scope of work for that permit. So I guess similarly to Nunley working on redundancy, I think anything with Rickenbach, I think you got bad advice from Rickenbach last year to go with the old CEQA work, and now he's being rewarded with new CEQA work. That's what it appears. The subject of disadvantageous community program, that is the wrong word. It is a disadvantaged community program.
I looked up Oceano on the internet and saw that your median household income has climbed to $49,000 per household, and I don't know if you are still considered disadvantaged, you as a community. The district control building no longer talks about when the trailer's leaving, and there's a deadline on that, so I was kind of curious what's happening with that and the progress with the trailer and the C-train. The human resources personnel policy manual update, the comments in this report speak to a meeting of July 28th. That's been a week or so ago, and there's nothing here to update you of what came out of the July 28th meeting, and wonder if we can get an update on that. Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
Well, I know you're tired of hearing about the Brown Act, and I think that if you heard more about it and followed it more, you might not get so much public dissent. And so what I have here is a publication by the Attorney General's office that discusses it at length, and I'll leave these on the back there if anybody would like them. So back to the Brown Act, as it applies to the press release announcing that the district administrator and the district are
Debbie,
parting ways.
Are you commenting on the staff report?
Correct. Yeah.
The district administrator's report?
Well, yeah, because I think I have a right to comment on that. But if you want to silence me, we'll...
Well, I'm not silencing you. I'm asking you to focus on the item that's before this board.
Okay, well, as far as I'm concerned, the district administrator's... decision to part ways is something that's extremely important and should be addressed, and I don't know when else I can address it but at his report.
Okay, you could have addressed it in public comment.
I had a lot to say. So
I understand.
If
so,
you don't let me say it
okay,
now,
finish your comments. Finish your comments.
Okay. The press release was the first notice the public received. It's dated Thursday, July 28th, the day following a closed session at the Wednesday, July 27th special meeting. The closed session subject was not announced in that board meeting, and at the end of the closed session, Councilor Trujillo said there was no reportable action taken. But according to the release, an agreement was reached between the board and the district administrator. It could only have been a secret meeting or meetings. This is the very essence of why the legislature of the state of California implemented the Brown Act nearly 60 years ago. The action of the board, the district administrator, and district councils violates the Brown Act on 17 counts. I'm not going to read the numbers. You can look them up. As used in this chapter, action taken means a collective decision made by a majority of the members of a legislative body, a collective commitment or promise by a majority of the members of a legislative body to make a positive or negative decision, or an actual vote by the majority of the members when sitting as a body or entity upon a motion, proposal, resolution, order, or ordinance. Action was taken. At least 72 hours before a meeting, a brief general description of each item of business to be transacted or discussed at the meeting, including the items to be discussed in closed session. Well, the agenda, neither in the agenda nor in the meeting, was a general description of the business to be transacted or discussed. No action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda. That's because it didn't appear on the posted agenda. Notwithstanding any other law, a legislative body shall not call a special meeting regarding the salaries, salary schedules, or compensation paid in the form of fringe benefits of a local agency executive. The legislative body held a special meeting to discuss salary, salary schedule, and compensation paid in the form of fringe benefits of a local agency executive. No legislative body shall take action by secret ballot, whether preliminary or final. It was a secret ballot. For the purpose of describing closed session items, the agenda may describe closed sessions as provided below. You can specify the position with the title, and you must say public employee discipline, dismissal, release. It wasn't agendized as public employee discipline, dismissal, release, and the title of the public employee dismissal release was not given. I have 10 more violations to add. The legislative body of any local agency shall publicly report any action
That's your time.
In closed session.
That's
Did
your
you
time.
Give me extra time for the time we talked?
No, you're done. That's
okay,
your time.
I'll be back.
I'm sure you will, and you have every right to be. Thank you. Please come forward.
With all due respect, there is a public comment period. This was set up for what was on the agenda. If everyone got up and spoke about public comment later in the agenda, John, these meetings are going to go to hell in a handbasket. So please, let's hold public comment. There are many a night I would have liked to have stood up here and said public comment two or three times. But there's one time on the agenda for it, and I try to respect that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Police, Jesus, all right. Last comment, please keep your comments focused on the item before this board.
Okay, well, I think we agreed that it was okay to continue. These are some more Brown Act violations. The legislative body of any local agency shall publicly report any action taken.
No.
Stop. We're going to take a recess. So we're going to take a 5-minute recess. So. Okay, I'm going to reconvene the regular meeting, and I'm still going to take comment only on the item that is before this board, which is the district administrator and the plant operations report. Does anyone have a comment on that report? Okay, seeing no one, I'm going to close it, bring it back to this board. And this is just a receive and file, correct? All right.
I do note, though, as some of the commenters mentioned, that there is a glaring absent item on this report.
Okay. Is that any other board member comments, Jim? Okay. Linda?
No.
Okay. So two things. We have legal counsel that advises us on the Brown Act. So if that's how you want to spend your time reading the Brown Act to us, then you have every right to do that. But as far as this board is concerned, the individual sitting at that desk that has the title legal counsel is the one that we are taking our guidance from. So it's unfortunate that we continue to have this going on at these meetings, and I understand, and like I've said, I've given people time. I've tried to be as flexible as I can be, and I'm just hoping that going forward, we can start to look. Someone said earlier, we need to look forward and try and do this public's business in a positive, focused way. So, Mr. Carr, we appreciate you and Mr. Sweet being willing to come back and work at the district, and we look forward to working with you. And so I think with that, we're adjourned.
Board member communication still remains on the agenda.
He said it.
You asked about the district administrator and plant operations report.
He said board member comment. He missed it.
Actually, I have four items that I'd request be put on the next agenda.
I'm going to open this back up just to allow him to make his comments, and then we're closing this.
First is I'd like to review the budget to actual of attorney costs as of the end of July for fiscal year 2016-17. Second, I'd like to place on the next agenda report of the number of and subjects of all investigations being conducted and associated costs. That's never been disclosed to myself as a board member, and I doubt that it's been widely disseminated to the board. So I'd like to know how many investigations, what the subjects are, and the associated costs. Third, full discussion of the agreement with the former administrator and the vote taken. And fourth, an item to advise to return Mr. Clemens and Ms. Simpson to their positions after the numbers of investigations apparently have shown nothing.
Thank you for those comments. There's not a second, so basically we're going to move forward. So with that, we're adjourned.